come and just fellowship. Our next men's meeting is Friday, September the 18th at 7 o'clock, okay, in the building in the back, well, the back part of the building. We do have Bible study this Wednesday, okay, 7 o'clock. And also, Brennan Reese, his birthday is Wednesday. How old is he going to be?
23.
Hey, he's in his 20s. He's in his 20s. Hey, okay. Okay. Who do we believe? The mother or the father? 22, 23. Doesn't matter. He's in his 20s. Hey. Amen. When you see him, tell him we said happy birthday. And we pray he has a great day that day. Amen. You know, everybody wants to feel appreciated and just loved by God and loved by people. You know, as a church, we have to show that we care. And in caring, that shows that we love the people. Amen. Amen. Also, Brody, Clarissa, why don't y'all come on up? They're in trouble. Bad. Bad. I mean, it's like, look, oh, man. No. I just want to announce to you that they've just gotten engaged. Was it last night or the night? Last night. Last night. And, you know, we want to congratulate both of y'all.
Thank you.
And marriage is a very good thing that God has set up for the church, for humanity. And we want to congratulate y'all. And looking forward, I'm sure y'all going to plan a date in the near future. I think it's next week. You know that? No. You don't? Oh, okay. He had a surprise for her and whatever and asked her to marry him. And so we do want to congratulate y'all. And I know last week he was filled with the Holy Spirit as far as speaking in tongues. Keep praying in tongues, okay? Keep doing that. Any problems, come talk to me, okay? All righty. But congratulations.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Well, I think that's it, huh? Amen. What, children and the workers, would you please stand? Amen. Father, we just come before you. And Lord God, help the workers to teach these children your word, Father. And Lord God, I pray that the Spirit of God would move like we've never seen before back there in that room, Lord. That the word of God would be planted deep within their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And also, we do want to welcome Miss Gail back. We want to welcome Miss Gail back. Seriously. We do want to welcome Mr. Leonard and Miss Gail back. And I know they went through that COVID-19, and, you know, we've been praying for you guys. We've been praying and literally, you know, saying, Lord, move and heal and stuff. So it's good to have you back. And
I can't wait for the wedding. I like wedding cake.
I understand. Amen. Amen. Can't wait for the wedding. We're not worried about the wedding. We want the wedding cake. Amen. 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 And it's good to see everybody else, guys. Yes. Good to see everybody else. And so, praise God. Amen. Well, all right, let's take our Bibles. Let's make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Also, before we go on with the service, somebody told me, which I didn't realize, that our president, Donald Trump, he lost his brother last night or this morning. Last night. That's what they said last night. Well, look, guys, we need to pray for our president and his family. I've never seen a president more come against than any other president like what we have today. But that's what happens when darkness and light don't mix. I'm not saying he's all light, and I'm not, no. But a lot of things he stands for is righteousness. And so we honor that. So let's, if you would, let's pray for that family, that God would be with them. Father, we come before you. And Lord God, you see our president and the family, Lord. Father, I pray that you would be with them. Console their souls, Lord God. Be with them and help them this day. Lord, be with the Trump family, Lord God, and help them to get over this and to look forward unto you, Lord. Be with them and help them. And Lord, I pray during this time that you would put their eyes upon you, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith. Be with them and help them this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you would, I want you to turn in Exodus chapter 23. Just go to chapter 23 and then we'll go from there. Exodus chapter 23. Tell you, we had a good time in the men's meeting. I tell you, it was good. Very good. Very good. Very good. I do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings. Like we said, you can see it in your bulletin, what was given. And I just pray that the Spirit of God would just be with you and touch your heart and touch your life. And just be obedient to the word. And do as you are, God will bless you beyond measure. Bless you beyond measure. In Genesis chapter 32, it's talking about Exodus. Wait. Genesis 32. What are y'all saying? Okay. Genesis 32. Y'all need to get things right now. Come on now. I'm sorry, it's not Exodus, it's Genesis. You see, y'all should be reading my mind by now. I did turn 55. And I can't switch the numbers around. So it's all, it stays 55. Sorry about that, really. I apologize. Genesis 32. Amen. I tell you what, we've had some awesome services, people. You know, I'm just a bar note from this. You may not realize this, but we're in revival. I'm telling y'all, revival has hit this place. And I'm telling you, you might say, well, where's everybody? You know, look, you don't go by what you see. You go by faith in Christ. And the power and the presence of Almighty God is being poured out upon a people that just hunger for Him. And I want to thank you for your prayers. Thank you for praying for me daily and my wife. Thank you for praying for the church daily, asking God to move at will and doing a mighty work. And we're just excited about what God is doing. You know, I know during this period of time, this COVID-19, it has hurt a lot of churches. I'm telling you, it's being used by the enemy to destroy churches. I'm telling you. But anybody that puts their faith in Christ, God will not let them be destroyed. God will come in and make a way where there seems to be no way. And the Spirit of God will be poured out upon a church. Being poured out upon a church. We've had more people in this last year filled with the Holy Spirit than ever before. We've been here 10 years.
10 years, grinding, just in that dirt, trying to get things done. But by the power of Almighty God and the Holy Spirit, God moves and will get things done. So I covet your prayers. I covet your prayers that you pray for us daily, asking God to minister and help us to do the work that needs to be done. And thank you for being such obedient people that you have a heart for God. You have a heart for God. You're not stiff-necked. That means you don't turn to the left or the right. You just stiff-necked. That's what God called the hardening of hearts in the Old Testament. To Israel, stiff-necked. But thank you for having a humbleness of heart towards the Lord. I appreciate that. That when the Spirit of God moves, that you are just humble towards that. As somebody needs prayer, that God will move. And because every person is important. Amen. You know, even when Jesus in the New Testament went around, he stopped at men that were blind, that were lame, that really nobody cared about. They were probably, if you would, consider the trash of the town. But God cared about them. Let us be a church that cares about people. Who they are. What God can do in them and through them. Care about people. And who they are. How they're hurting. Give them a helping hand if you can. You know, some people say, well, I don't have money to give or do this or that. But I tell you what, if you could just pray for them, let me tell you, that means more to them than any amount of money can do. You know, now money helps. I mean, I'm not trying to say keeps the lights on, keeps the bills paid. But you know what? The heart after people, helping them and being with them. But in Genesis chapter 32, it talks about Jacob and Esau. And I'm sure you and I have read this story many times. It's not just a story, and I hate to say it that way, but it's an actual event that happened, actually, where they had these two boys being born, you know, twins. And, you know, and Jacob and Esau. Esau was the oldest or eldest, and Jacob was the younger. And it says when they came out of the womb that Jacob was caught the heel of the older one. And it says in Scripture that the older would serve the younger. And we know as time went on, the mother loved one son more than the other, and the father loved one more than the other. That wasn't right of them to do that. Never, never, never right. But it says that when it was time to give the inheritance or the blessings, that Jacob and his mother conceived or a plot to get the best blessing. You can never deceive somebody and think that you're going to come out okay. Amen. Never. Yeah. That never happens. You might get away with it for a little while, but it will come to haunt you back. It's like the skeletons in the closet, huh? And you're only one with a key, but for some reason, somebody else has a key. And it comes out. We can't deceive knowingly, you know. Sometimes we may do stuff and we don't know that it may be wrong or whatever. But it says that he took the mighty blessing and deceived his father. And because his brother came back, Esau, he was very upset with his brother. And we know it says that Jacob took off to a faraway land and his brother vowed to kill him. Now, you know, that's not a good relationship to have one brother against another brother and one vowing to kill the other. That's not good. That's not a good thing to have within a family. We want harmony. We want love. We want relationships to be good. But you see, In doing that, Jacob got to a place where God started to move upon his life. And you see, that's what we want. We need God to move in our hearts and in our lives. We need God to be with us every day. We need God to give us leadership and guidance and help. We need God. You know, I don't understand how people could live just on their own out there and not have any reference towards God Almighty in helping them to live their lives, you know, in a way that would be pleasing unto him. You know, I don't understand how they can get up in the morning and have no one to go to. I just don't understand that. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I belong to the Lord. I've given my life to him. And how I can go to him continuously. And like you can go to him continuously when there's something bothering you or there's a problem or a situation rises up. Well, he took off. And that's where we're going to get to the story or the scenario in chapter 32. Look at starting with verse 24, please. It says this, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." Now, let's stop right there. Jacob was left alone. Jacob knew that Esau, because of the situation that happened with him years before, that his brother was after him. God had blessed Jacob with camels, cattle, all kinds of possessions. I mean, Jacob became a very, very, very wealthy man because of the blessings of the Lord. But he had gotten wind that his brother was coming after him. And fear walked in. He had forgotten how God had protected him and how God had showed him how angels were around about him, protecting him. We don't realize we're not out here alone. We're not fighting the battle alone. I mean, you know, come on, Brody, you the fighter, huh? Come show me how to fight. Don't hurt me, though, but I have to preach. Kickbox. But I can learn. But we're not out here alone. But we fight the enemy. The enemy hates you. Look, there's no bypassing this. The enemy of your soul hates you. He cannot stand you. He hates you with everything within him. Because when he sees us, he sees the image of the God that threw him down from heaven. The God that defeated him. It says that we're made in the image of our God. That means in the likeness, we've taken on his characteristics. We are formed like him. Not that we are gods at all. We've been made by our God. And that's what he sees. It's like looking in a mirror. You know, when you look in the mirror, who do you see? Yourself, hopefully. Okay, we see ourselves. When the enemy looks in the mirror, all he sees is himself, destitute. But when he looks at us, he sees the spitting image of the God that defeated him. Oh, my Lord, defeated him at the cross of Calvary. And yet he still thinks he can win in the end. He still thinks, even though we have the book that says he's lost it all. 400 men were coming with Esau after Jacob. And look, he got wind of it. And he got afraid. You know, during this pandemic thing, you know, you see people that are afraid. I've never seen such panic. Jelaine was saying the other day, she went to to Walmart, and she was just shopping, and this lady came. That was before they had to have, it was mandated. It's mandated. That was before that, but everybody just about was wearing all that, and that, whatever, And she said she was going down the aisle, and this other lady was coming in the aisle, and they both just stopped, and the lady just put her arm out and touched Jelaine's arm. Such a rarity. The enemy's trying to destroy the human race and bring everybody to hell. She said it was such a rarity. It's like it was just almost automatic with both of them, but it was such rarity, to touch that arm and asking about something, we are people that, we talk with our hands and stuff. But you see that, how it has brought enmity between people that may wear a mask and may not wear a mask. I try to respect all. It doesn't matter, whatever you want to do. But you see how it has brought enmity, even in the churches, fighting about all this stuff. And the enemy will use it. So we got to say, okay, now, Lord, how can we be what you want us to be during this time? And let the Spirit of God and the love of God come out from us. At one time when a baby was born, they would take that baby, and what they would do is put it right on the mother's breast here, just right on her to hold. Right when that baby was born. And then for a while it went through the time where, no, that wasn't right. They'd put it in, whatever, and go take it, and wouldn't go right to the mother to check. And then they came back and they said, no. It needs to be done that again. Right when that baby's born, come. Because that baby needs the touch and the feel and the love of that mother. Not just a nurse that's full of uniform stuff on, but the love of that mother. And that's just like what God wants. He wants us to hug one another and love one another. Now, whatever respect we need to give to one another, that's fine. Some Christians want to shake hands, some whatever. But I tell you what, the enemy is trying to destroy the love of the Father towards his people and the love of relationships between brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we cannot allow that to happen. Can't allow it to happen that we let that love flow from us. Here he had 400 men coming after him, and fear set in. People, I know during this time fear may have come in a little bit. And what you got to do is you got to get in that word and look up. Come on, we got to do something for a change, okay? We got to combat the enemy. We can't just let him roll over us. You get scriptures on fear, and you quote those scriptures, and you say, Father, I'm not going to let that happen to me. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank you. Now, that doesn't mean, we do things just, I don't fear nothing and go and jump off of something, No. But, to fear the world or to fear those things, that's not good. And so we got to get allow that spirit of fear to come in, because the love of God needs to come out. And if fear comes in, the love of the Father can't come out. And so we got to allow the Spirit of God to work and to move like we've never seen before. And so here 400 men are coming after him. Now let me tell you, you sitting in your home on your lazy boy and you hear about your brother down the road, and he has 400 men coming after you, and they're not coming just to take your TV or steal your car. They're coming after you. They could care less about your possessions. They're coming after you to kill you and to destroy you because of something maybe we did years ago. And so so what do we do? And he did the best thing he could, and he said he took them and sent them over. Now go back to verse before that, please. Okay, that's okay. And so here we see, oh, I forgot Joey wasn't up there. Joe, okay. It's Joey, and Joe, they do their music and all that. Okay, here I am just. But, yeah, that's okay. I'll read it. But here we see they're coming after him. And it says verse 24, that's good. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Here we see 400 guys are coming after him. And all of a sudden, Jacob comes up with an idea. Now, that's the problem. That's a problem, people. Let me go back. When something comes up our way, don't come up with something from your own mind or your own heart to try to solve the problem. That's when we get in trouble again. The first trouble was when he deceived. Number two is when he tried to buy his way. Okay? And here we see he's sending camels and ewes and all kinds of animals, you know, hundreds, to appease him. From the commentary, it says it probably was about $100,000 worth of material blessings that he gave. Now, you think this man, Jacob, was rich to give that amount? He was. But you see, he didn't go to God first. He deceived or came up with this plan. You see, we got to realize, yes, things are going to happen in our lives. Things are going to happen that other people do that will affect us. Okay? I mean, you know, a child does something, it will affect you. You know, your spouse does something, maybe good or bad, whatever happens, it will affect that other spouse. Things affect one another. And it hurts sometimes. But let me tell you this, we got to go to God first. Yes. Not last, or after we've come up with an idea and it doesn't work. We got to go to him. And finally, it says that he went to the Lord after all these things didn't really do much to help him or appease his brother's anger. Because as the men would go and bring day after day the things, they'd come back and they'd give a report to Jacob, and they'd say, Jacob, he's still mad. Jacob, he's still full of anger, your brother. He's coming after you. He's coming after you. He's coming after you. We think we can do things and it will appease the other side. Most of the time it won't work when it comes out of man's imagination or mind. But I know this. Every time, not just sometime, every time we go to God and he gives us a plan to solve a situation in our families or in our churches or in our communities, that we can bank on it 100% that it will happen. It will be solved because the power of Almighty God goes before us. And when the power of Almighty God goes before us, he solves all those situations. And here we see the angel. You know who he's talking about? Not just some penny-ante angel down the road here, you know. He's talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that came and they wrestled. Now, you know, they wrestled. That means he started praying and the angel came and said, Jacob, let me tell you what I can do. And it says Jacob had a touch from Almighty God. And he touched him so much that he hit the hollow part of his hip that made him walk with a limp. You might say, well, why did God do that? Because he wanted him to remember that day that he was touched by God. How many times have we been touched by God and God says, remember, 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 remember. How many times have we been touched by God? The Spirit of God moves upon us, gives us direction, gives us help, and we forget it. And when hard times come or things happen, we turn our face from God and we go in a different direction, thinking that God doesn't care about us. That's not truth at all. But God cares about us. Remember those things when you were laying on your bed and you didn't know what to do and tears streaming down your face, your eyes, and you're saying, God, if you don't help me, I don't know how I'm going to last. I don't know how I'm going to get through. And the power of God came through and God made a way where there seems to be no way. That's the power of Almighty God. People, keep our faith in our God, in what He has done and what He will do in the future, and the soon coming Savior will come for us. The power of Almighty God. Let God be God in your homes. Let God be God in your on your jobs. Let God be God in the church. Amen. Let God be God. And he saw what God could do. And all of a sudden, it was about time to meet his brother. And he took his two wives and his two maid servants and some of those children there and put them in the back with him. And he sent all his servants before. And as they would come to Esau, they would have gifts. I mean, he was wealthy. They'd give him gifts. Give him gifts. And Jacob and his two wives and his two servants came. And they were about to meet Esau. Now you have to remember, he's been with God the night before. That changed his life. Changed. See, every time we spend time with God, it changes us. That's why the enemy doesn't want you to spend time with God. You know that? He doesn't want you to spend that 30 minutes with God, solitude time, because he knows you gain strength from your God. He knows that you get guidance from him. He knows you get the victory at that time over all things that are bothering us on the inside of our lives. He doesn't want us to have the victory. And you see, we just have to go before our God, spend that time with him, let him strengthen us and lead us and guide us in the direction that he wants us to go. The power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. Let me tell you this. We do not serve a little teeny, tiny little God that has nothing in him. But we, you and I, serve the King of Kings. Yes, amen. The Lord of Lords. Yes, amen. The King that sits upon his throne and that can make all things happen. Yes. All things are possible with him. And they finally got up to the place where they meet. Esau has the power, honestly. Well, manpower. Jacob has God's power. That's the difference. And he just basically asks him, why are you sending me all these gifts? Why did you do that? And Jacob in his mind is thinking, I'm trying to melt his heart towards me. And all of a sudden, they just come together and hug one another and kiss one another on the cheek. See, that's the power of God. Yes. That can reconcile two brothers that have some hatred one towards another. You might say, well, Jacob didn't have... You read some things and you find out Jacob wasn't all innocent, but we know from the birth he wasn't his and the deceitfulness. But God worked upon both of them. Let me tell you this, people. There's nothing too hard that God cannot solve. I know some of you are at a place where you're hitting a wall and you're saying, Lord, what can I do? How can you solve this thing? Let me tell you, God is the great solver. Keep it before him. When it looks like there's no possible way, you keep it before him. When it looks like nothing can happen, you keep it before him. When it looks like it's like, oh my God, there's no way possible, God says it's always possible. Keep it before him. Let him solve those things that need to be solved. We have a lot of things. Let me tell you, for sure, God didn't get a bargain when he got us. That's right, huh? It's like, Lord, you sure you want this? But because he loved us, because he loved us so much, that when he got us, he said, I can use that man or that woman. That's the kind of God. That he could use that man or that woman. That's the kind of God. Look, don't ever look at yourself as something that's thrown away or trash.
Amen.
Don't.
Yes, amen.
Now, don't be so high and mighty that when a rainstorm comes that you drown. No.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? It can go, it can be too, we have to be level-minded.
Yes, we do.
We're not trash. God wouldn't die for trash.
That's right.
Jesus. Amen. Jesus died for humanity. Because their soul will last forever. And if without Jesus there's a hell, with Jesus there's heaven. But yet, we shouldn't be so proudful that we think we're the best thing that God has given to humanity. Let me tell you, if it wasn't for God, none of us would probably be here. But because of the mercy of God and what he can do, he can take a life that is downright down and out and make a way where there seems to be no way. That's God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He can take a person strung out on whatever's down the road and change that life, because he's the only one that can. God solved the situation between Jacob and Esau. God can solve situations that we have with other people. Keep it before him. With other situations, keep it before him. God can solve it. And let God do what he wants to do. Have you ever been praying about something and you thought, oh, I know what to do. I know what to do. And all of a sudden you're praying the next day and God, the Holy Spirit, tells you something and it's totally different from what you thought. I've been there. And you said, thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. That's the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Look, guys, you leave today. I want you to be ready to serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.